This podcast brought to you by Peterson Auto Group. With 5 stores and 10 brands and more than 1,800 new and used vehicles to choose from, Peterson Auto Group likely has your perfect car.
Live from the Next Title Studio, this is News Talk 670 KBOI.
This hour brought to you by A1 Heating and Air. Stay cool and comfy this summer with A1 Heating and Air Conditioning. Visit A1Heating.com.
If you're talking about it,
they don't care about the view. They're not there for a discussion.
We're talking about it.
Let's take a deep breath and not get too carried away.
This is Idaho Talks Live with Paul J. Schneider and Chris Walton on News Talk 670 KBOI.
Paul J. taking a little extended July 4th. He will be back tomorrow. Chris Walton here with me in the studio. David Allen.
Hello.
Todd with 1D. Pushing the buttons. Now, it's pretty real. U.S. Secretary of State Rex Tillerson has confirmed North Korea's claim that it launched an intercontinental ballistic missile overnight. Quote, this is from ABCnews.com. The United States strongly condemns North Korea's launch of an intercontinental ballistic missile. Testing an ICBM represents a new escalation of the threat to the United States, our allies and partners, the region, and the world. He continued, global action is required to stop a global threat. Any country that hosts North Korean guest workers, provides any economic or military benefits, or fails to fully implement UN Security Council resolutions is aiding and abetting a dangerous regime. All nations should publicly demonstrate to North Korea that there are consequences to their pursuit of nuclear weapons. That ICBM can hit Alaska.
Yeah. Their main... North Korea's main, benefactor, maybe. In other words, China.
Yes.
Basically gives North Korea everything they have.
Yep.
Anything that is bought or sold in North Korea, chances are it is made in China and sent from China. And when they have, you know, aid for any particular reason, they get it from China as well. Now, the U.S. currently, well, first of all, yesterday, South Korea and the U.S. both shot missiles into the waters.
Yes.
Off of South Korea, just to essentially show North Korea, guess what? We still know how to do this.
We still have these, yes.
Yeah, and lest you think we don't. But the U.S. might need to rethink its current strategy on North Korea, which is essentially asking China to step up its efforts to rein in Pyongyang and Kim Jong-un, because I don't think China really seems to have any particular impetus to do so.
Doesn't seem like it. It
no.
doesn't seem like it. I will tell you that Nikki Haley, who's the U.S. ambassador to the U.N.,
yeah.
will be meeting the United States mission to the U.N. The Security Council session is today at 3 o'clock, 1 o'clock our time.
Right.
And they will get together to say, what can we do?
She essentially tweeted yesterday morning that she had stuff planned for the 4th of July, but all of that went by the wayside.
Yep.
As soon as they found out that North Korea had shot an ICBM. Since taking office, the president has tried to get China, and again, North Korea's only major ally, to apply more economic pressure on North Korea to help stop its nuclear and missile programs and other acts of defiance against the U.S. and its allies. Christopher Hill was a former U.S. ambassador to South Korea during the George W. Bush administration. And later he was the ambassador to Iraq during the Obama administration. And he said that Americans will be monitoring the U.S. response after the latest round of provocations. And, of course, I think he actually said that before we shot a few missiles yesterday. And, again, nobody's shooting missiles at anyone. They're just showing that they have them.
Yeah. North Korean leader Kim Jong-un said the test was a gift to the U.S. in honor of the 4th of July. The state news agency KCNA reported. He, with a broad smile on his face, told officials, scientists, and technicians that the U.S. would be displeased to witness the DPRK's strategic option as it was given a package of gifts on its Independence Day. The North obviously has a history of conducting its weapons tests on or around July 4th every year.
And also not particularly caring what the United States thinks about anything.
So the question becomes, what's next? What do we just go to the UN and say, hey, please, you guys, can you help us out here and slow Kim Jong-un down?
Yeah, why do I get the feeling that, well, it's like I said, I mean, that already isn't working.
Yeah, and what sanctions can you put on a country that's in the dark, literally and figuratively, most of the time?
Now, when, at the time, the president-elect, Trump, said on Twitter in early January that a North Korean test of an intercontinental ballistic missile capable of reaching the United States won't happen, in his words, there were two things he still did not apparently fully appreciate. Number one was how close Kim Jong-un was to reaching that goal and how limited any American president's options were to stop him. Because, of course, as we said, it happened on Tuesday. Experts said the North Koreans had crossed a threshold, if just barely, with a missile that could potentially strike Alaska and probably Hawaii. Now, I think people have a tendency to think, if they think of an intercontinental ballistic missile, they have a tendency to think of it going like straight across an ocean east to west.
Yes.
No, you can send stuff over the top, over the top of the world as well, and it might be considerably
shorter.
Shorter, yeah.
Obviously.
Because you're going from the northern hemisphere to the northern hemisphere. Kim Jong-un's repeated missile tests. Now, I've got this now from the New York Times this morning. His repeated missile tests show that a more definitive demonstration that he can reach the American mainland cannot be far away, even if it may be a few years before he can fit a nuclear warhead onto his increasingly powerful missiles. But for the president and his national security team, Tuesday's technical milestone simply underscores tomorrow's strategic dilemma, as you said.
Yep.
A North Korean ability to reach the United States, as former Defense Secretary William J. Perry noted recently, changes every calculus. The fear, that is not that Mr. Kim would launch a preemptive attack on the West Coast. That would be suicidal. And if the North's 33-year-old leader has demonstrated anything in his 5 years in office, and yes, he took office at the age of 28. He is all about survival. But if Kim has the potential ability to strike back, it will shape every decision that our president and his successors make about defending America's allies in that region. For years, the North's medium-range missiles have been able to reach South Korea, you know, obviously, and Japan, also with ease, and American intelligence officials believe the missiles are capable of carrying nuclear warheads that far. But this latest test suggests that the U.S. may already be in range as well, and that, as one former top American intelligence official noted recently, that would put enormous pressure on American missile defenses that actually few people trust to work, oddly enough. That I did not know.
I did not know that either.
On Tuesday, the Secretary of State, Rex Tillerson, called, as you said, for global action and for the UN Security Council to enact stronger measures against North Korea's government in Pyongyang. He added that the U.S. would consider nations that provide economic or military help to North Korea to be aiding and abetting a dangerous regime, as you said.
There is no way that Kim Jong-un gives a damn what the U.N. says.
Well, that would be my guess.
There's no way. 336-3700, 1-800-529-5264, #670 on your Verizon Wireless. How far do you want to go? Or how far do you want the U.S. government to go to stop North Korea? 846.
Time. Oh, talks live today at 3. Listen to Nate on 670 KBOI.
852. Welcome back to the show. David and Chris here with you. All right, Chris, I'm asking you, what do you want done to North Korea? Or,
well,
what would you like to see any, whether it be the U.S. government or the U.N. or somebody, do to North Korea to slow this madman down?
Well, I think the number one thing we should do is talk to them and say, you know, is there anything in particular that you need that we're not providing for you? Or is there any particular reason that you feel it necessary, being a relatively small and extremely poor country, to flex your muscles so often? You know, why? And, you know, if, and chances are they won't want to talk because they, you know, especially most dictatorships, in particular this one,
yeah,
they do tend to be somewhat secretive about everything. And they don't like to negotiate. They don't like to even acknowledge that other countries exist, for the most part, apart from apparently the U.S. and Japan, whom they don't like.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I think we should start with that. And then it would be nice if the U.N. would get involved in a way, because North Korea is not a member of the U.N.
No.
But practically everyone else is. However, I know they probably don't consider the UN to be somebody with whom they would negotiate.
Yeah, they're not a,
because they're not
a body they care about.
I'm reasonably sure they wouldn't negotiate with anybody except China. So we have a lot of meetings with China, and we ask them for certain things. And if they say no, I'm not entirely sure what the next move should be, simply because I do not want to get into a bombing war, especially with a Chinese ally, because then you know, basically are at war with China.
But,
which I don't think would turn out well.
No, it wouldn't. But with his instability, Kim Jong-un's, I mean, mm-hmm. with his instability and the fact that he doesn't listen to China, because mm-hmm. I think they've tried to slow him down and at least rein him in a little bit. If we got into an all-out war, yeah. do you think China enjoys that? Or are we just like, hey...
Well, I doubt...
We're just going after North Korea. We don't...
I personally doubt China would prefer to be at war either, but I think they would if they had to. And I know, you know, based on what I've read about North Korea, I know that they will essentially fight to the death for a cause.
Yes.
And the cause would be Kim Jong-un, their mm-hmm. fearless leader, for whatever reason. You know, well, it's just that these people don't grow up... In North Korea, you don't grow up with a rebellious spirit.
No.
At all.
No.
It's like when Dennis Rodman was over there and they were making that documentary that showed, you know, he and the other ex-NBA players were over there playing basketball. He took a microphone one night and or when they were playing basketball and spoke to the crowd that was there. Of course, we're all North Koreans, and started telling them how terrific their dictator was, Kim Jong-un, and what a great guy he was. And they all just looked confused, not because they couldn't understand what he was saying. They were confused because they didn't realize apparently that there was any other way to think.
Wow.
You just automatically think that you're, you know, that the leader of North Korea is unstoppable and, you know, always right.
I'm like you. I don't know that I want to go into a bombing war with anybody.
No, I don't either. I mean, if we can,
especially within,
if we can sit down and talk to them for 400 years, I mean, as far as I'm concerned, that's better than going into a war.
Yeah. And especially with somebody who's so unstable that you don't know what he's capable of at any second of the day.
Yeah.
I would hate to think
that. And here's the deal. If they have just now come up with an ICBM that works, you know, chances are if some other countries decided to pool their resources, again, you know, people always say that thing about wiping somebody off the map.
Yeah.
That's great, except for two things. Number one, they're close enough to bomb Seoul, South mm-hmm. Korea, mm-hmm. which would mean that an awful lot of people would die unnecessarily. And number two, you still have China.
Yeah.
And regardless of what China thinks about what North Korea is doing, they are still allies in the way that we are supposed to be with NATO.
Sure.
But maybe or may not be right now. We don't know.
I just don't know that talking is going to do it. But I don't want to start bombing either.
It might not. Talking might do absolutely nothing. But I still think it's the first thing that we should try.
I guess it beats bombing. So
yeah,
I support your decision on that.
If you live where the bombs are, most everything beats bombing.
I would like you to go over there right now and talk to him if you could, please.
Me personally?
Yeah.
No.
All right. National news comes up next. You're listening to 670 KBOI.
Stay cool and comfy this summer with A1 Heating and Air Conditioning. Visit A1Heating.com.
If you're talking about it...
They don't care about the view. They're not there for a discussion.
We're talking about it.
Let's take a deep breath and not get too carried away.
This is Idaho Talks Live with Paul J. Schneider and Chris Walton on News Talk 670 KBOI.
Welcome back to the show, 907. David, Chris, and Todd with 1D here with you. Let's go to the phones, 336-3700, 1-800-529-5264, #670 on your Verizon Wireless. Let's go to Cascade and Larry. You're on 670 KBOI. How are you, sir?
Yeah, morning, David. Hi, Chris.
Hey,
and Paul J., if you're out there listening, happy 50th. Anyway, I want to – Korea. They have never signed a peace treaty. They have been at war with us for 70 years.
Mm-hmm.
And he's been – that regime and its predecessors have all been preparing for that. They aren't giving up on getting back the South Korean territory.
Wow.
And grandpa Un, I guess.
Yeah, Kim Il-sung.
Yeah, he's a god over there.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Dad, he damn near starved the country building the military and everything up.
Right.
And now the son is taking it to the next extreme, I think. I think he's ready to try to take South Korea back. You know, I mean, they've never given up on it.
Do you think China can influence him at all and get him to cool his jets and slow his roll?
Well, they've been the one. I mean, the missile that they've been taking apart, the pieces that they find out in the sea out there when they crash, and they're Chinese parts.
Yeah. Well, and basically everything in North Korea is from China, as we said.
Yeah, so. But I mean, the parts to build the missiles and the guidance and all whatever electronics they got is coming from the people that, you know, said, oh, yeah, well, you know, a long time ago there were supposed to be sanctions against, you know, exporting that stuff to them. And then, you know, you got to look at the exchange of information between the Koreans and Iran. As far as the nukes go, it's that's been pretty well proven.
Mm-hmm. Larry, let me ask you, what do you want us to try? What do you want the UN to try or the United States government to try to get this guy back in his lane?
There's not a lot. I'll tell you, you know, what are you going to do? I mean, the country's already on starvation.
Sure.
You know, and they're supposedly cut off from technology and, you know, it's hard to guess. You know, I guess we have to wait for them to, you know, have one of their missiles hit something. They got that just across the border. A friend of mine's son was in 2nd Armored, and they're stationed up there on the DMZ. And he had pictures of there's like two Koreans, a North Korean and a South Korean, and they're standing on either side of a line, and they got 24-hour shifts. They stare at each other.
That's right.
Wow.
There is across the DMZ this fake city that was built in North Korea.
Yes, I did hear about that.
Yeah, well, there's, you know, it's all full of artillery. It's just a camouflage for their...
Yeah, it's a depot, basically.
Yeah, it's a staging ground. So eventually, you know, they supposedly have these Chinese over-the-horizon anti-ship missiles. You know, with all the pressure we're putting on them from you know, with the carrier groups, you know, some guy might just, you know, what was it, the Bradford incident? It's a movie.
Yeah, right.
I mean,
Bedford. It was Bedford.
If he fires one, I'll fire one. Fire one, sir.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's all it's going to take.
All right, Larry. Thanks for checking in with Cascade from Cascade. We appreciate it. Have a great day.
Later.
You could almost hear the frustration in his voice. He
well,
doesn't.
You could. Yeah.
He doesn't know where it's growing. Rich in Boise, you're on 670 KVOI. How are you, sir?
Oh, good. Well, we got the same situation we had with Iran. We had two choices with Iran. We had another war in the Middle East that totally unstabilized things worse than it is now, or we had a chance of a treaty. Oh, and we never had a treaty with North Korea because we've never had a war with them.
Sure.
Yeah, well, technically, what we had was a police action.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because
we were
part of the United Nations force that went in there, and of course, the Americans were the largest part of it, not counting the South Koreans.
But, I mean, we got to figure out what he wants. Is he afraid that we're going to invade him? I think that's what prompted Iran to build up their nuclear program. They thought we were going to invade them like we did Iraq, and that's the times they started really pushing and building up their nuclear program. I don't know what Kim Jong Il's problem is, and that's what we got to learn instead of making all kinds of jokes about him and stuff, to find out what the heck is really going on. And I don't have any idea. I don't know why he wouldn't want to trade with more countries and build up his country. I don't know if he's just afraid that we're going to invade him. I don't know if he's just doing this because this way he can stay in power if everybody's afraid. I don't know the answer, but I would really like to hear some real answers. And we get so much nonsense propaganda about these leaders and make fun of them, and we really don't understand what's going on. I mean, I don't have a clue. It doesn't make any sense to me why he would want to be isolated from the rest of the world, why that would benefit him. You know, maybe it makes it easier for him to be a dictator.
No, it does, because if the North Koreans don't know what's going on in the rest of the world, they think they've got it terrific.
But on the other hand, if things were they know when things start getting better for them. They might not know that they're worse off than everybody else, but they know when things start getting better for them. So it seems like if you were a dictator and things started getting better for your people, I mean, just a little bit better, they'd be going, wow, this is incredible if we really love that guy. You know what I mean? I don't understand the situation, and that's what I would really like to find out is I'd like to know some facts about it that I can trust is just not being propaganda to understand. Because I really don't understand why he's doing it. I don't see any motive.
All right, Rich, thanks for calling in today. We appreciate it. I agree. There's a part of me that thinks he's Kim Jong-un's afraid of regime change, whether it be from South Korea or from the United States or from whomever, that he's afraid of that, and he doesn't want to lose the power that his family has had for three generations because they live pretty high on the hog.
Yeah.
And
this is the sort of thing that reminds me of in True Grit.
First or second?
I never even saw the second one, Rooster Cogburn. But True Grit, the original.
No, I meant the original with John Wayne or the second
one. The original with John Wayne.
Yeah.
Where he ends up shooting the rat indoors,
mm-hmm.
you know, and he makes the guy mad doing that. But he said, see, baby sister, you know, to the girl, he says, he doesn't pay any attention to me. And then he shoots the rat and he says, you can't serve papers on a rat. You either kill him or let him be. And essentially, that indicates that you can't negotiate with everybody.
Sure.
You know, by which he meant, the guys that he was going to go look for, Robert, mm-hmm. Robert Duvall and whatever, Lucky Ned Pepper and those guys, you can't negotiate with them.
Yeah.
You either have to just leave them alone or you got to do away with them. And, you know, essentially for the last 70 years or 60 years at least, we've kind of been leaving those people alone.
Sure, and it's only now that we can because...
But partially it's because they haven't been attacking anybody.
He keeps poking at us. He keeps poking at the bear.
Yeah.
Who does that? 915-336-3700, 1-800-529-5264, #670 on your Verizon Wireless. Love to know what you think about the North Korea situation with the United States. You're listening to 670 KBOI.
Remember, you are listening to Paul J. and Chris on 670 KBOI.
Now it's 920 now at 670 KBOI. Your KBOI rewards code, ICBM. Just the letters, ICBM.
Right.
Go to KBOI.com, enter ICBM, get your 5,000 rewards points. Also, assigned a picture of Kim Jong-un. It's just a 5x7. It's not the big one. It's just.
You ever heard of an ICBMW?
I don't think I have.
It's an intercontinental ballistic missile Winnebago.
Oh, all right. Well, there you go.
So you know,
you got that going for you.
That would be people out for out for the weekend with a 6-pack and a Polaris.
336-3700. I don't even know what to say. 1-800-529-5264. Let's go to Jerome and Randy. You're on 670 KBOI. How are you, sir?
Good morning. Fine, thank you. Yeah, you know, to listen to some of the callers' logic to get into the head of a dictator, maybe it'd be simpler just to say that, you know, all the world needs is one more benevolent dictator. You know, to if people love him and, you know, he takes care of them and tells them what to do and what not to do, but always for their benefit because, you know, he knows best what's, you know,
As far as they know, because they don't have things like the internet or newspapers from outside North Korea.
Right. Well, maybe they do have it good there. You know, I mean, maybe the isolation does keep them from getting, you know, other views and, you know, even having the thought process to have an opinion. But you know, it just baffles me how, you know, some people have the thought process that. you know, that everybody should, would, and wants to be like the United States of America. You know, it's not always the case. And, you know, if we could just have another benevolent dictator, and we've had such success with them all through history in the past, you know, how they love their people, they know what's best for them, and just so everybody bows down to their, you know, as licks their boots as they yeah. pass. So, but you know, I mean, if all the things to, you know, there's a lot bigger fish to fry in the world than Kim Jong Un. You know, he really is isolated, and you know, I mean, if all they can do is just, you know, stomp around and you know, spout off stupid stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot worse things happening. People are really doing some bad stuff.
What they've determined they can do now is they can actually shoot an ICBM up out of the atmosphere, and then when it comes down, it'll be, I guess this one was around 580 miles away from North Korea when it finally came down, which is not that impressive based on, you know, what, obviously what other countries can do militarily. However,
right.
It's a step that people didn't want to see.
Well, I mean, yeah, I mean, they're gonna stumble along, but to ever gain parity in military technology, I mean, if it was so, you know, if it was so, then you know, there might be. It's like Iran, you know. I mean,
yeah.
Iran, they're supposedly put on hold, you know. But, you know, so there's a lot worse things happening than worrying about, you know, the mind of Kim Jong-un. I just, you know, if that's all that we have to worry about, you know, there's some really bad stuff going on in the world, you know, that
right
now that needs to be, you know, that needs to be addressed more than worrying about. I don't find it a big worry as to why, you know, why the little dictator is, you know, basically he says what he says because he can get away with it. I think that's probably.
Thanks for the call,
Randy. We appreciate it.
You bet. Thank you.
I mean, right now, based on Tuesday, it's not so much what he says that's bothering people. It's the fact that they are still developing missiles that can go far away.
Yeah.
And if you live in far, far away,
yes, exactly,
as they did in Trek, then you probably don't like that.
Well, and Randy's right in the sense that if he was just talking and bloviating and being a blowhard and everything, then everybody would just go, oh, look at the little man, and pat him on the head like Benny Hill used to do.
Right.
But now that he can actually do something and get to South Korea easier, yeah. Japan,
well, you know,
and Alaska, now it's not just the cute little man with the weird haircut.
Well, and they think of it as North Korea, you know, relatively small place compared to many other countries in the world. And it's like that play or movie, whatever it was, The Mouse That Roared.
Yes.
You know, the whole point of that was the people wanted to declare war on bigger nations,
mm-hmm.
so that they could surrender, and then those bigger nations would provide them with aid.
Yes.
I don't think that's what North Korea wants.
No, I don't think so. And you had it right in the fact that because they're so shut off from everything, they have no idea whether they have it good or bad. Life is good for them because that's all they know.
Yeah.
And so they can't say, well,
and there are
gee
people,
whiz.
There are people who are born into labor camps there and spend their entire lives
yep.
in the labor camp,
yep.
and they don't know anything else.
And you know, when your life is the little box, your life's pretty good because you got the little box.
Yeah.
And you're good to go.
Especially if you've been told all your life that, hey, if you didn't have this box, there'd be big trouble.
We got Terry and instant messages coming up after the news. But first, Ron O'Brien will get us the news here at the bottom of the hour. It's 9:26 at 670 KBOI.
Afternoon at 3 on 670 KBOI.
It's like Olivia Newton-John, Paul J. and Chris. It's one name.
Yeah.
Paul J. will be back tomorrow.
I've gotten mail for years that's sent to three people. Dear Paul, J.,
and Chris. 336-3700, 1-800-529-5264, #670 on your Verizon Wireless. Let's go to Terry as we continue talking about North Korea. Terry, you're on 670 KBOI. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you guys?
We are doing well. Thank you.
Okay, when it comes to North Korea, we got to remember one thing. It's a proxy for China. Really, I mean, we're dealing with China. It's not Korea. They
sure.
do what they're told. And so all we can really do is keep working with China, although they're not going to really bend from their agenda. And we need to really work on our defense here so that we can stop missiles coming in. We should have been doing what we've given Israel, that wonderful technology. We should have been doing that. Maybe we are doing it. But the other thing is we got to protect our electrical grid, because that would be so easy to do one of those pulse things, you know.
Yeah.
20 miles up and ruin the whole, knock out the whole country. So that would be unreal. Sort of like 93% of us would die in the first week.
Well, but, and it's like how the Ukraine right now is having a tough time trying to get all of their computer systems back online.
Yeah. Imagine that all over the country here.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't want to.
I know. Well, and that's because it's unthinkable, but we've got to think about it.
Yeah.
So when it comes to North Korea, it's going to be just like any other crazy person having it. There are going to be people who have it. We are really in trouble now that we have that capability, nuclear capability, and we knew this would happen. And so all we can do is build up our defense.
All right, Terry, thanks for calling in. We appreciate you checking in. Have a good day. I guess she's, you know, that's a good point in that, that they're the proxy, and we need to worry less about what he's doing and more about protecting ourselves.
So essentially, I guess what we do is just keep talking to China, which we're already doing anyway.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, just go from there.
And, you know, make some requests once in a while.
Sure.
Dave of Boise says, as an Idahoan, I am very concerned with North Korea. They are targeting Alaska, which is only a stone's throw away from us here in Idaho.
Mm-hmm.
There will be fallout, and things as we know it will never be the same for those who survive. So, yeah, I would say there is cause for concern.
I would agree with him completely. And, you know, again, it was one thing when he had big talk. Now he's got some actions that can back that up. So,
and Crude Pundit of Boise says, in January 2017, our beloved leader, President Donald Trump, tweeted that North Korea getting an ICBM will never happen. So really, folks, relax. The North Korean new missile is fake news. Donald said it would never happen. Who are you going to believe?
I'm going to believe the missile report.
I think what he intended to say at that time was that it's not going to go unnoticed. But yeah, he did say it's never going to happen. But I don't think he knew how close they were to it.
Yeah.
And Bob says, does Korea/China not know that if Korea ever launched and hit the United States, that they would become a parking lot in a very short time? I don't think they care, to tell you the truth.
Yeah, I was going
to
say, I don't think that's high on their list.
It's just like what I've said. It's like with ISIS and people like that who will simply fight to the death for their cause.
Yep.
I believe North Korea would be the same way.
Rick in Boise, you're on 670 KBOI with David and Chris. How are you?
Hey, guys. I love the new show. This new guy is just so much better than the other guy you have on there, so thank you for the change.
You're welcome.
Yeah, I love it. What's going to happen is South Korea and Japan, they're gonna take out that little Sung Jong-un, whatever the heck his name is. That little fuzzball is gonna get blown into a billion pieces. Is what's gonna happen.
Yeah, Kim Jong-un, whose father was Kim Jong-il, and his father was Kim Il-sung. So there you go. That's all.
Man,
of them.
That sounds like stuff I order when I go out to Thai food, man. You know, I just can't wait till they just get rid of that guy. He is a crazy, crazy man, and he's very dangerous. And you know, if we've got to go over and do the dirty work again, we will. But, man, I'm just happy. I'm happy to hear this new guy, Chris. He's a good co-host with you, man. You sound great.
All right. Thanks, Rick. We appreciate you calling in. It's your first day, so.
Well, he won't be here tomorrow. Anyway.
Well done.
But I like the other host, too, as a matter of fact.
I do, too. He's better at it. He's been doing it longer, and he's better at it. He'll be back tomorrow.
Very fond of him.
Go ahead.
Oh, go ahead.
Did you have instant massages?
No, I had one that turned out to be about something else entirely.
Trump tweeted out this morning, so much for China working with us on North Korea.
He did say, and
he didn't say that in a negative way. I know that sounds but he said.
I agree with what Terry said, that basically we still have to work with China. And since they are North Korea's only ally, it's not like North Korea has this whole bunch of countries that.
No. Are just hanging out going, hey, we'll help you.
All they have is China. My guess is they will listen to China because they would certainly never start a war with China.
But up to this point, they haven't, because I know China's asked him to stop doing the missile tests, and he continues to just do it. So he's not listening now to his only ally.
But see, I'm going to go with maybe on that one.
Why do you say maybe?
Well, it seems to me if China gave Kim Jong-un a direct order, that he would more than likely follow it. And since he is not, he risks, you know, their friendship with China by doing so. And my guess is then for him to actually risk something like that, they must not have said it very adamantly.
Do you think China would be capable or at least on board with doing regime change themselves?
You know what? I don't know. I don't know that they would necessarily even try, simply because they've got somebody there now.
Sure.
Who, you know, and in North Korea, like I said, everything North Korea has, they get from China.
Yes. And they're just such an unknown that I wonder if China would say, you know what, we're a little tired of this too. You know, if the rest of the, you know, if South Korea, Japan, and the United States are tired of it, we're really tired of it.
But like China is probably the only place that you can actually travel to North Korea from. As
yes.
You know, that like the
kid, Warmbier.
Mr. Warmbier, Otto Warmbier, that came home in a coma. He had gone to North Korea through a travel agency in China.
Yep.
And, you know, it's the United States doesn't make it against the law for you to travel wherever you want to if you're American.
The State Department will just try to dissuade you from going to
those
places.
Certainly, if you ever look at the State Department's website. Now, I don't know what it's like now. I haven't looked at it for several months. But the way it used to be, they had basically a daily update of where and where you should not go in the world, according to their recommendation.
Yeah, I haven't seen it since Warmbier came back and died.
It never looked like something that I would want to go against.
No, that's a very good point. 942-336-3700, 1-800-529-5264, and #670 on the Verizon Wireless. It's Chris and the New Guy on 670 KBOI.
This is Idaho Talks Live. Today at 10, listen to Rush on 670 KBOI.
947, David Allen, Chris Walton here. Paul Jay will be back tomorrow. So this is kind of interesting, and this is from ABC News also.
All righty.
How Kim Jong-un got from his simple New Year's resolution to fire North Korea's first ICBM to what happened yesterday.
When they fired... The ICBM. Yeah.
He started the year off with a public vow to launch North Korea's first ICBM. He did it in his annual New Year's address, a 30-minute televised speech in which he praised his scientists for successfully testing what North Korea says was its first hydrogen bomb, the second of two nuclear tests it conducted in 2016, and then saying preparations for launching an intercontinental ballistic missile had reached the final stage, unquote. Then,
and so apparently this is not a bluff.
Yeah. March was the breakthrough month for their domestic rocket engine industry. North Korea conducted a ground test of a new type of high-thrust engine Kim hailed as, quote, a great event of historic significance for rocket building and efforts to develop Korean-style strategic weapons.
Korean-style?
That's what it said. Korean-style. Not North Korean-style. Korean-style.
Hmm.
Because they think they still own South
Korea.
Well,
yeah. As far as they're concerned, they are Korea.
Yeah.
There isn't a North Korea and a South Korea. They're Korea.
Now you move on to April, and tensions spiked in that month as satellite images suggested that North Korea was preparing to conduct an underground nuclear test. With the arrival of a U.S. aircraft carrier battle group in the area and another armada on the way, according to Trump, both sides traded threats of an escalation to war. Test never happened. North Korea did mark the 100th anniversary of the birth of national leader Kim Il-sung, Kim Jong-un's grandfather, with a spectacular military parade that featured more missiles than ever before, including some that had never been revealed in public.
You know that, and this is what's strange about it, is Kim Il-sung, you know, was the dictator, and then his son, his oldest son, was Kim Jong-il, and then one of his sons was Kim Jong-un. He wasn't even his oldest. I think he was his youngest son, as a matter of fact.
Yes, he's the youngest son, I believe, yes.
Because when... Kim Jong-il died, Kim Jong-un was 28 years old and basically took over to lead the country at the age of 28. And I don't know. It's like the one guy talked about. We shouldn't even pay attention probably to their propaganda that they send out. But as far as the North Korean people know, these guys are gods.
Yes.
You know, the fact that they actually die just indicates that, you know, they're only here for a short time to be on Earth, but they're actually gods.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the way they look at him, the way that the Japanese people used to look at Hirohito.
Yes.
Until right after World War II, when he announced that he wasn't actually a god.
And finally, putting on the final touches, increasingly concerned by the stepped up pace of North Korea's missile launches, the U.S. in early June tested its missile defense system. Washington called it a big success. The interceptor launched from an airbase in California, obliterating a mock incoming missile over the Pacific Ocean. The U.S. has about 450 of the missiles, and each can travel around about 8,000 miles. But critics of the $244 million test said it didn't confirm the U.S. could actually intercept a North Korean ICBM fired in war conditions. Only 4 of 9 intercept attempts since 2004 have been successful.
Well, see, that's less than 50%.
Yeah, and the test also had no apparent impact on North Korea's test schedule.
You remember in the 80s what they were trying to develop?
Yes.
Was what they called the Star Wars defense system.
Yep.
And Star Wars was just a name for it because obviously, you know, the movie had been so popular just a few years before that. And there were people who made fun of Reagan for calling it Star Wars, you know, saying that, oh, he thinks it's going to be just like the movie. No, he didn't think that. He just wanted to have a system whereby satellites in space, if they detected missiles moving, could actually shoot them out of the air.
Yes. Yes. So that there'd be less chance of them getting through.
And an ICBM, is like I said, an ICBM technically goes into space.
Subspace, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Subspace, right.
9:51, this portion of the show brought to you by Harmon Travel. With Boise State football season just around the corner, the time to book your away game trips is now with Harmon Travel. Washington State and San Diego State packages are available with reasonable pricing. Go to harmontravel.com or call them at 388-3000. Harmon Travel is the official travel partner for Boise State Athletics.
Yeah, Washington State's a fun place to go. I still think of the best trips that Boise State does, and we don't do them, you know, all the time anymore,
sure,
necessarily, but Hawaii, San Diego, Las Vegas, and Reno, just because those are all kind of places where you'd want to go on vacation anyway.
Destinations, yes.
Even if there were no ball games.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
And, you know, nothing wrong with the Palouse.
No.
I'm just saying that, unless there's an event, I generally don't go there on vacation, although it's a very nice place.
Here's what I definitely don't want to have happen with North Korea.
All right.
I don't want to see an escalation of things via Twitter. That's what I'd like not to have happen. And I don't care if it's Donald Trump or Nikki Haley or some congressman or some senator or some...
Okay, so measured words on Twitter would be a good idea.
Yes. And if today's meeting with the UN Council at 1 o'clock our time goes well and they're able to come out and say, you know, we want to come into the country, right, we want to do this, that, and the other, we're going to work with China, and the UN starts working with China, then I'll be happy with the outcome of today's decision.
And as we know, the G20 starts
today, yes.
Well, I think it's today or tomorrow, yeah.
It starts tomorrow, because he's flying to it today.
Yeah, the president flew into Poland.
Yeah.
And after flying into Poland, is going to then go to Germany for the conference. But... And again, that's, you know, the 20 biggest economies on earth are all together.
Yep.
And
there's a big celebration in Poland today. And then doesn't he meet with Merkel tomorrow? And then Putin on Friday.
Yeah.
I believe.
And it'll be supposedly the first time they've ever met face to face.
Supposedly.
Well, I don't know, because it depends on what you're watching. The president has said before he was president, before he was even running for president, like he was on Chris Matthews one time, Hardball, and Chris Matthews asked him, now, do you know Putin? And he says, oh, yeah, I know Putin.
Yeah.
Like it was, you know, not a big deal. They've dealt with each other and been on the phone, blah, blah, blah.
Sure.
And then later, when he was asked the same question, he said, well, I don't actually know him. We've never met in person. And then they said, well, have you talked on the phone? And he said, well, no, at this point, we had never even talked on the phone. So, I didn't know what he was getting at. I think what he meant is like, you know, I know who Putin is and I'm not too worried about that. And we, as far as I know, have a fine relationship.
Yeah.
That's probably what he meant in the beginning. I don't know, again. But it'll be interesting to see what the meeting is like when they are together. I'm sure it'll just be, you know, friendly and shaking hands like they would with any other world leaders.
Sure, sure, sure.
I don't think Donald Trump will probably say much of anything to Putin that makes any difference, and Putin probably won't say much of anything to Donald Trump that makes much difference. But, it'll just be like it is when world leaders get together. There'll be some photos taken and that's
shaking hands. And
that's all there is to that. And they're not going to meet out in public anyway.
And I will tell you that Vladimir was pretty funny today. I saw CNN had he was at a press conference something today. And he said that he was a little bit upset with Donald because he had obviously shared all those horrible secrets with the Russian ambassador. He goes, I haven't seen a secret one. I don't know why he would hold them back from me. He's not a very good friend. And he was actually smiling when he did. And you don't see Vladimir trying to make jokes very often.
Well, and when he was when he was interviewed here a few weeks ago, he kind of said the same thing. It was Megyn Kelly, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
And he said, essentially, he says, you know, a lot of this stuff you hear, it isn't true. Now, you know, you have to consider the source, but maybe it is, maybe it's not.
That's where the question marks
come
up.
When we talk about news anymore, and it's like I said, you know, it used to be that what made it into the newspaper or what made it onto the evening news was a concise bit of what they knew for sure.
Yes.
And now, with 24-hour news networks, people come on and they speculate and say, well, this might be what's happening, and this might be what's happening. And people watch that and then go out and tell their friends, guess what's happening?
Yeah.
It's not what's happening. It's just what might be happening.
It's all the conjecture, exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
Which makes me crazy.
Well, like I said, if you're on for 24 hours, you got to say something.
You got to fill it with something, exactly.
Rush, you're on for half an hour? You know.
Rush Limbaugh comes up after the news. Michael Savage at 1 o'clock. Nate Shulman at 3 o'clock. Mark Levin at 7. Paul Jay will be back tomorrow morning, bright and early. Have a great Wednesday. It is Wednesday. Have a great Wednesday. Chris, have a good day.
Thank you. You too.
Todd with 1D, have a good day. You're listening to 670 KBOI.